This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. In 1942, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the Minidanka internment camp in Jerome County opened. For 3 years, thousands of Japanese Americans were held there against their will during World War II. Minidanka was one of 10 internment camps for Americans of Japanese descent, many of them in Western states. Some 70 years later, musician and PhD student Julian Separiti began digging into the history of internment, but he realized the best way to tell these stories was through song. No No Boy is the name of his band, and Julian is joining us live in studio to talk about his artistic journey, along with collaborator Amelia Halverson. Welcome, and thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you.
So, you know, history seems to be one of your biggest influences in music, Julian, you know, highlighted by your album 1942. And this was after your work gathering oral histories, right, from Japanese internment camp in Wyoming.
Yeah.
So we want to take a listen to one of the songs from that album. This is called Two Candles in the Dark.
Don't it feel like a movie? Teaching this girl how to waltz. Left feet, she might have three, but she sure feels nice in my arms. Old folks singing old songs, playing the agreed upon key. My eyes are stuck on her, her eyes don't leave her feet.
So why do you find history to be such a well of inspiration for your music, Julian?
I'm not sure that I did at first, but going through a doctoral program, you have to read a lot of books and do a lot of research. And I was interested in Asian American history, partly because I'm Asian American. And when I was living in Wyoming, the story of Japanese internment really stood out to me. So I just began looking into the story, finding people who had lived through it when I'd be traveling on the coast. And what they told me was really impactful, really resonated with things that were happening today. And as a songwriter, when I sat down to play guitar, after years of doing this research, these songs just kind of came out.
And Amelia, what's it like for you to collaborate on this type of music that really tells a story?
Yeah, it's been a great experience. I think it's exciting for me. Julian's a bit further in his career, so as a younger songwriter, it's really inspiring to see an Asian American musician who's sort of synthesizing these stories in a way that I admire, both for the message but also for the music at the same time.
And Julian, how do you incorporate kind of history into your work? I mean, like when you sit down to write a song, I mean, do you have a certain time in history that you're thinking of? How was that process?
It depends with this project. I mean, I made my living when I was younger. I was in an indie rock band, and I was just writing songs about my daily life, like most people, I guess. And really just sitting with all this material, you're just kind of trying to translate what you're being inundated with. Stories of Japanese American incarceration, or my family of Vietnamese refugees, or taking a trip down to the border today. And that's kind of what this project has become an umbrella for. And as far as incorporating that into art, I think it's more that I spent so long as a songwriter and having that be my profession that that's just the tools I best have to express myself. No one's a natural dissertation writer. That's just like, you can ask anyone who has a PhD, like that's just
It did not come naturally to them.
No, it's just, it's a very arduous, like kind of verbose style of writing that doesn't really get through to the public. And I'm not saying most people like kind of this folk music stuff that I do, but I've definitely been able to play for thousands more people than if I had just been like, would you like to read my 300-page dissertation?
Right, exactly. So you're in Idaho right now for a residency at Searle's Place in Garden City. Have you actually visited the Minidanka internment camp?
Yeah, so when I lived in Wyoming, I would take a lot of trips around the West looking at just history in general. And a lot of that is this kind of hidden Asian American history, whether it's Chinese cemeteries of railroad workers and miners, old massacres, or the Japanese camps. There's so much strewn. I mean, we're staying in Garden City, which is named after the Chinese gardens, right? And But yes, I have been to Minidoka probably 3 or 4 times now. And at first I just went as kind of my own pilgrimage just to walk around the land. And I'd really encourage anyone who lives in Idaho to take that trip to Minidoka and just think about that history. And because it's well preserved, they do a really good job with the interpretive staff there. And it really helped to inspire a lot of my thinking and songwriting about not only Japanese American history, but American history in the West.
Well, and I think what's interesting is that so many people still to this day don't know that there were these internment camps and basically throughout the West.
Yeah.
And when you talk to people about your work, I mean, are people still surprised when they hear about these internment camps?
Did you, Amelia, grow up learning about this that much in school?
I think it was sort of a history note or history class footnote.
Right.
Yeah. Did you learn about it in high school?
You know, I didn't. But what's interesting is that where I grew up in Washington State, there was an internment camp near the town that I grew up in. But I don't remember hearing about that until I was probably a teenager.
Yeah.
And it was also kind of all rumor, right?
Right.
That because we didn't know about this. But it's kind of this dark, hidden history.
Yeah, as far as reaction that I've gotten, I'm a red stater, like through and through. Like I grew up in Tennessee. I've lived in Wyoming. Those were the formative years of my life. And so, and being a person of color, you have to like navigate in a certain way. But you also don't have this kind of like bias that a lot of my friends and colleagues have in arts and academia of like, you know, idiots with guns and stuff like that. Like you understand more of the culture out in these places, and you realize like a lot of people who raised me, they might be vote completely different than how I vote. By the way, vote. but, you know, these are still people who raised me and loved me, and that's, there's a human connection. So if I encounter someone who's like skeptical of World War II history or skeptical of refugees or the situation at the border today, these things that I care about and research, I just try to have a conversation. And that's why I use songs, because it's not an argument like in an academic paper. It's just, here's, let's sit down and listen to a record. Let me play you a song. And then if you have questions, I've done the research, so I'm happy to talk to you about it.
And in fact, you were just recently, you visited the southern border, right? Because you played concerts for not just asylum seekers, but aid workers.
Yeah. Yeah, I was down in Texas with, there's a lot of collaborators on this project, and two of them, Diego and Juan, are at Brown University with me, and we took our spring break, like the worst spring break trip ever.
I was going to say.
To just see what's going on, because you know, for me, I have this inherited history of refugees in my family from South Vietnam. I study, and I have people who are like family to me who have been in these Japanese camps before, and I wanted to see these detention centers that were going up today, how people were being treated. And yeah, the best way I knew how to go down was to play some concerts for some of these refugees and some of the lawyers who are trying to help them out.
Because this is another part of our history that 20, 30 years from now, we will be discussing still.
Right, and the echoes and the repetition just become kind of nauseating, and it's not a matter of sides or politics. I think so is obscure. It's just like, let me just tell you what I saw and let's have a conversation about it.
And you will be giving a concert tomorrow at the Visual Arts Collective, correct?
Yeah, the Visual Arts Collective in Garden City. I think doors are at 7 and the concert's at 8 p.m. And you can get tickets by going to nonoboy.eventbrite.com. Yeah.
And Amelia, you'll be collaborating tomorrow night,
too. Yeah, I'll be singing tomorrow night with Julian.
And she designed my stage jacket. She's an awesome embroiderer.
So you're more than just a singer, right?
Yes, I like to embroider as my visual art in addition to the music.
Oh, that's lovely. I want to thank both of you for coming on today and talking more about this. Our guests today, musician Julian Saporiti and collaborator Amelia Halverson. There will be a concert, as we said, tomorrow evening at the Visual Arts Collective in Garden City. So check that out. Again, thank you both so much.
Thanks for having us.